Welcome back to Uncomfortable. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince for another episode where we wish you to be a little uncomfortable. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that really is not comfortable for any of us, is children, parenthood, you know, the shifting sands of time. I mean, I absolutely love that title. I think it's just incredible because it really kind of tells you what's happening. I mean, you blink and kids are crawling. Right? You blink again, and they're walking into their first classroom. Before you know it, they're asking for car keys, and they're giving you one-word answers, and, you know, they don't even want to fall asleep anymore. They want to stay up all night, play video games. They think they're an adult, even when they're not even barely 16, you know? And they're trying to argue a case as to why they need to be able to stay out as long as their big brother or their big sister, and, I mean, come on.
Kirk, it sounds like you're like what I'm detecting some pain in your voice here.
It's just the reality of teenagers and adults. You know, it's just kind of experience that you're hearing, you know, having gone through these things. You know, so but the real thing is where's your identity, your purpose, and your prayers, right? As a parent. Because we need to make sure that we're keeping our identity fixed on Christ. Because as we get stretched through these moments, and some of these things act almost like refining fires, because we have to exercise a relentless love for our children. I mean, I've heard some parents say, well, I'm just not going to show my love if my kid doesn't want me to do what I want them to do. Well, I've never seen Jesus withdraw his love from me whenever I wasn't obedient where he wanted me to be.
I would say this. I know that each level or each layer of parenting, each layer that the child goes through, every aspect and phase and change comes with its own joys and its own headaches.
Oh, brother, let's just be honest. The hardest part of parenting isn't raising the children. The hardest part is learning how to let go of control while holding on to your faith.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about it. Your child first comes to you. Well, let's just go for natural childbirth for a second. The child comes to you as a baby, and you're holding this child, and they're completely 100% dependent upon you.
Oh, absolutely.
And all the rest of the time after that, it's going from them completely dependent on you to slowly exerting little bits and pieces of freedom and learning boundaries and you having to continually repeat yourself for the next 18 to 21 years of their life.
Well, I think a lot of times what sometimes happens, and I'm not saying everyone because I don't want to do that because that's not, wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, that's not right.
But, you know, the reality is a lot of times people think that they're supposed to be little mini-me's. They're supposed to come around and be just like me, know everything that
that's
I know.
That's kind of dangerous.
And be a little replica of themselves, you know, little clone. But, you know, the reality is they were never created to be your clone. They were a precious spirit that was entrusted to you for a reason and for only a season. You know, it's something that's supposed to be, we're supposed to raise that young person up into the image of Christ. Just like we're supposed to be pursuing Christ and trying to become, you know, molded after the image of Christ ourselves, right?
Right.
So I guess you could say parenthood reveals our deepest fears in, am I doing enough? Am I running them? Will they walk with God? Will they call me when they're all grown up? I mean, has anybody asked themselves that question before? I mean, I know I have.
I've done that.
It's like, you know, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your father, you know, because, you know, when I stand before the Lord, you know, I'm going to have to tell God if I did well or not. And he already knows, and I can't lie to him. Right. So, I mean, it's kind of like, whether you want to hear it or not, this is the truth and this is what needs to happen. But at the same time, we have to do that in a capacity of love.
That's true. I will say this as, oh, One of the coolest parts of being a parent is there are these things that you learn in the Bible. There's these things you learn about God and stuff like that, that some of it just doesn't hit, or not the same way, or it sinks in a little deeper once you have a child. When you there are certain things that I remember holding, actually, even it was Nathaniel. I remember holding Nathaniel early on, and he was just laying there sleeping and just kind of enjoying it and praying over him. And I could remember I heard the Lord say, "That is what I meant by this, this, and this from the word." And I was like, "Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it?"
Oh yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times in our lives, Vince, and I know the older our children get, that we can sometimes feel like time got away from us, that we wasted a lot of our time, right? That these moments were missed because we were too busy, distracted, or just didn't have enough time in our day to get everything done. You know, and that sting of time, it doesn't go away. It just kind of makes you feel like, is there a do-over button, right? Almost like that is that easy button the Staples commercials used to have. That was easy, you know, but instead we're like, I need the do-over button, right?
Well, and then there's this feeling bad of like with each kid, because you know, the first kid, you know nothing. And then, you know, with each successive child, as you've gone through the layers of going through this first one, now you've learned some stuff and you're applying it with each kid, each successive kid after, and you're like, you kind of feel bad sometimes
Well,
because you're
here's the
like,
grace of it, though. God
man.
does. You know, in Joel 2:25, God says, "I'll restore to you the years the locusts have eaten." If you pray over that, man, I'm just saying, if you're fearful that you've lost things, ask God to restore the years you've lost, to help you to recognize the time you have and how to best steward the time that He's given you. You know, don't let it be something that's an overwhelming fear. You know, breathe. You know, you may be an empty nester grieving about the silence. Enjoy the rest. I mean, you've been complaining for the last 20 years that you didn't have enough rest anyway. Rest, enjoy the rest. If you're in estranged from your child, pray for hope. You have hope, and just continue to rest in God and pray in that hope.
You know, I will say this. You know, we talk, not us specifically, but everybody tends to talk about the early years. And there's a lot that happens in earlier. Yes, I don't want to detract from that at all. But I would like to talk, especially in this season right now that we're in the summertime. There's all these youth camps and kids camps and all that stuff like that. So let's talk about this, that transition of time between like maybe the age 10, 12 years old, all the way up to out of college and even starting early career up to say maybe 30 years old, right? So let's briefly skim over that real quick and saying that although each year seemingly with our children from zero up, they change so much. The maturity of a 12-year-old is so vastly different than the maturity of a 14-year-old.
Oh,
Me and my wife
absolutely.
talk about this all the time, that there's never a part in your life other than your teen years where 1 or 2 years can be so drastically far apart. You know, you
Well, hold on,
if
Vince.
you
I think the fifth and sixth grade, I think there's a pretty drastic difference there too. So, and the reason I say that, and because I'm from the school time,
Yeah,
you
but
know,
what
where
age is that? That's 12, 13 years old, right?
I.
Or 10. No.
The thing is a little bit younger than,
It's a little younger, but yeah.
but the thing is right at fifth grade, you're almost there. Sixth grade, you're a little too old to be in, you know, elementary, but you're not really old enough to be in junior high. You're way too immature to be in junior high to the point to where you might get your butt whipped, especially if you're in the generation you and I came from.
Yeah, that happened to me a few times.
But the thing is I don't, I mean, just, I know that I'm showing my age. I do not understand why they put a sixth grader in junior high at this point because they are not there yet. They're not. But anyway.
Well, I say that to say, you know, you think about as an adult, if You and your spouse, whoever they may be out there and listening to this, maybe you're only 2 years apart. 25, 27, 32, 30, whatever. That age gap tends to go away as you get older, right? The maturity level between 2 years worth of difference is not that big of a deal. But although it does exist all through, I mean, a newborn and 2 year old are two totally different places. A 4 year old and a 2 year old are in two different places. So it stays there, but at when they hit their teen years, as they begin to go through puberty, it seems to grow even the cavern of time seems to grow even wider in a lot of cases. Not all, but in a lot of cases. A 14-year-old and a 16-year-old are two totally different worlds almost. And so on and so forth. And then it goes back again and starts to shrink and shrink and shrink as they get older and older. But in that time, one of the things that it requires of us as parents, and I say this, being on the third one who's about to be 18 soon, it takes a lot of patience, takes a lot of grace, a lot of prayer, and even repenting, not just to God, but to your actual children. Hey, I didn't handle the situation right. I apologize. And you're like, oh, Vince, what do you mean apologizing to your children? How dare you? Parents don't do that. No, it
They
actually
should.
builds more trust in the relationship. If you can say, you know what, I listen, the situation, it wasn't good or whatever, I handled it wrong. Not that you're saying they're right and they should get to do whatever they want to do, but that you would be like, listen, you came to me about the situation. Because you approached me this way, I still could have handled things differently. Instead of yelling and fussing at you, I could have sat us down and had a conversation.
It's about being a person of integrity. You would want your boss or your coworker or whoever to have the decency to treat you a certain way. And when you recognize that you didn't do what you would have expected someone to do it to you or for you, that you would in turn go to your child and say, "Hey, I didn't handle that right. Forgive me. I'll try to do better next time." However, you're still grounded. That doesn't remove your grounding. I mean, I could have handled it differently, but that doesn't remove your grounding. But we will re let's revisit this, this, and this because I don't believe I handled that like I should have. So let's revisit these key things here. So, just like you said, life is a journey, man. We're going through this journey with our children, and you're just a little bit ahead of me. My last one's 17. Just well, he's not 17 yet, but he will be this summer, and. It's an interesting thing as all of your kids are getting to that point where they're almost never at home. And, things get real quiet. You begin to, in the beginning, you think, how am I going to ever deal with such a loud house? It's so busy all the time. I have no time for me. And by the time they're leaving, you're like, there's too much time. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. And it's like, You then hold on. Then this is the real thing that kind of gets you. Then you start thinking, man, is this how my mom and dad felt when I left?
Oh man, don't do that. No,
The
now you're
guilt,
like,
right?
no, don't compare me to them.
It's like then the guilt hits, and you're like, Lord, I'm so sorry that I haven't called my mom and dad more than I have. And then you start calling your parents more because you realize where they are. I mean, I had that conversation with my mom not too long ago. I'm like, Mom, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what it was like. I did not think about the fact that it just didn't click. I got so busy, and it made me realize that we have to be intentional with our time, with our family, with our kids, not just our immediate family, but also our mom and dad and our sisters and whomsoever else that we really want to keep a relationship with.
Well, I'm gonna put this one out there to you, and you're gonna love this one, Kurt.
What are you
In
going to tell
case
me?
you
We need
hadn't,
to do something that's a four-letter word called work.
well, not just that, but I mean, you're gonna love this, and when I tell you this about your children becoming adults, and I know you've got a couple of them there now, but the fact that they need you doesn't go away when they become adults.
Oh, I know that.
It shifts and it changes, and obviously a bit. But I personally remember there was a stage that I went through that I was kind of more like, well, whatever, they're grown. If they don't, they know how I am and who I am, so they need to adapt to me. And they just need to accept me because I am who I am. And I remember my wife confronting me and saying, listen, if you don't change how you interact with them, you're not going to have a relationship with them.
Ooh, man, she just got you.
And man, it hit me. It really did hit me really good. And so I did some, I mean, I had some other things I was dealing with too at that point, but some old hurts and past that from the past that had come up, and I was dealing with those. But in dealing with that, I realized, hey, I've got some work to do. So I did. The next 2, 3 years, I really went on this journey to learn how to speak differently to my kids, to actually listen to them and hear them when they were saying how they received information. And when I was talking to them. Now, do I always 100% do that? No, I am who I am, and I have my moments and all that jazz too, but it has changed drastically. And because of that, and because of putting in all that work, when my kids came at me a certain way, my older ones, I could look at them in the face and I could sit there and say, listen, I put in all this work
Right.
to change, to adapt, so that I could speak with you and interact with you and show you that I care and want to be a part of your life as you grow up. The least you could do is the same for me. And so now I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with my older kids, you know, with my daughter especially, and I can have conversations with her, not all the time, but I can have some tough conversations with her. My son in Florida, he calls at this stage in life. It's so weird. We really thought we would never really hear from him again because he just not a, a he doesn't talk on the phone. He's not a phone person, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, we'll get a few calls from him every now and again, maybe some text messages around, you know, important dates or something, and that's it. We'll just never see or hear from him again unless we show up there. Man, I tell you, he talks to my wife almost every day,
What?
at least 10 or 15 minutes. When he's heading home from work, because the schedule his wife works, most times she's with clients at the salon and all that, so she can't just talk with him. So he'll call Gina and talk to her for 10 or 15 minutes on his way home and just see how things are going, ask how the family's doing, all that stuff like that. Sometimes he'll talk to me and we'll talk and cut up and goof around for a little bit. And so, I mean, in some ways, the relationship has gotten a little better. And so it shifts and it changes as they grow older. And you have to realize as they become adults that their life is their life. And you're not going to agree with how they make, what choices they make, not all of them, and which paths they take. Even if it's God's path for them, you're not necessarily going to like certain aspects of it.
Well, and there's
But
times that you will be up praying at night because you know they made a stupid decision.
oh,
It's
Dad,
just what it
most
is.
definitely.
You will spend sometimes pray time in prayer, and sometimes you will even, if you believe in it, you'll fast because you know you're like, Lord, this particular child of mine, they are not doing things like they should. This area is they're not making wise choices right now. Lord, please wake them up so they don't come to harm, you know. And it's just part of life because even if they're not a bad child, even if they're not doing things that are sinful, sometimes they may make foolish decisions that could have bad consequences because they're too trusting or too naive even at times. And that could in itself be detrimental if they're not walking or really having a strong relationship with the Lord.
It's definitely a rocky road as a parent. And like you said, there's sometimes sleepless nights. There's a lot of prayer, a lot of work that goes into being a parent. And you know, Listen, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's you have hard days, and sometimes you need to take a day off. And that day off doesn't look the same as if you take a day off of work. That day off might just be, you know what? We're gonna get out of the house today. Because not everybody can take off and get away from their children and have somebody else watch them. Not everybody's in that. Okay, so let's go outside today. Let's go somewhere safe, obviously, where your kids can kind of roam free a little bit within a certain parameter.
I don't
Maybe you
believe in
do have a
safe
house,
fence.
huh?
I don't believe in being safe.
Maybe you do have a house with a backyard. All right, open up the, go outside, go in the backyard, have a big, like, get one of those slip and slides or something like that, or just put the hose out there and have a sprinkler or something for the kids to run through. And just kind of hang out and enjoy that moment. And I will say this, regardless of the age, where your kids currently are, where they were, remember to enjoy the moments that you have with them, because they are just that. They are moments. You see them when they're so small, and even though they're grown now, you can look at them and still see that little girl, that little boy that said, "Mommy, mommy," or "Daddy, daddy," and all of that. And just enjoy the fact that it shows that God has entrusted you with something important, and that's to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So.
Absolutely. And sometimes, Vince, I think really, and we're going to give the daily challenge a little early. Not too early because we're almost there, but let's go ahead and give it. And I'm saying that because here's the challenge. Many times I think that we try to grab on and grip onto things very tightly, and really what we're gripping and grabbing is sand. Because it's something we really can't hold on to, right? It metaphorically is like we're gripping sand. And so my question, and I want you to kind of reflect on it, our wonderful audience, is what is it you need to release control of? What is it that you're holding on to tightly that's really more like you're gripping sand that you really have no control of, but you won't let go of control, and that you need to trust the Lord in this area with your child's life? Because God gave you your child in the first place, so he is going to care for your child way more than you do. So the reality is we have to have faith that God will walk them through things, even when we're stressed out, right? Vince, I know that you've been there. I've been there. I think every parent's been there to where they're like, what's
At
going
least
on?
once.
What's going on with my kid? Even the best kids make stupid choices sometimes and scare
Yeah.
their parents. And so, what is it you're holding on to so tightly that you're even causing anxiety in your life?
Yeah.
Let's don't do that. Let's instead say, Lord, I yield this over to you. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to pray over this situation, but I'm yielding this to you and I'm letting go of this and I'm placing it in your capable hands.
One of the things I've learned, Kirk, and that with our with our youngest now is for the last this last school year we were going through, and one of the things I felt impressed to do with him from the Lord was to start training him in leadership stuff. Going through the different the 21 Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. The book called Boundaries by Henry Cloud and Townsend
It's good.
and so things like that, right? And at first I was like, well, I don't think he's going to step into anything in leadership in life relatively soon. I mean, it's probably coming, but not like tomorrow. And I felt like the Lord was sharing with me, and he's like, yes, but he needs to learn how to lead, be the leader in his life. And that he needs to be able to function and handle that aspect of it, because it's important, because eventually he's going to be a husband and a father. He needs to be able to lead his home.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that we all have to remember is that our children are going to grow up. And as they grow up, they're going to take on new roles, new responsibilities, and they're going to take on a new challenge. And in those challenges, God will continue to grow them. But the seeds that we plant in their life as they're younger, or at when they're younger, those will be the things that help carry them through their life when they get older. You know, Jesus said that train a child up in the Lord and he will not depart from him, right? It doesn't mean he won't have moments. It doesn't mean that he's not going to fall into sin, but it is saying that if you train your child up in the ways of God, that he has a extremely high probability, if not a sure thing, as in turning himself back onto the right track and getting himself right with the Lord. I would honestly say that unless his life is cut short by some unforeseen accident, the Lord would make sure that he has that way to get himself right back in line.
Yeah, I I'll say too that don't try to hold your kids to your expectations for their life. So, you know, pray on what God has for their life and what God wants them to do. And by the expectations, I don't mean like you expect them to clean their room or help with the chores. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I mean, like if you're like, oh, I want them to be a doctor or a lawyer or this or that, and that's not what God calls them to do, then don't be upset with them that that's not what they became.
Right.
If God's calling them to do something different, then let them do something different. Don't make them, or don't shackle them to your expectations, because that's what you feel like they should be doing.
There you go.
I know that's uncomfortable. That's some toe stepping.
That's some toe stepping for sure. You're making me uncomfortable, brother. I think you just creased my shirt there, buddy. What was up with that? Well, guys, we really thank you for joining us on this uncomfortable show. We already gave you the challenge today, but I just want to remind you, you know, don't be afraid to let go of those things that you're holding on too tightly. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be afraid to be uncomfortable as well. You know, let's keep walking on this narrow road together. And again, I'm Kirk, and Vince is here with me. Stay faithful, stay grounded, and don't be afraid to get uncomfortable. You can always go check out other shows on our Moose Ministries page at mooseministries.org/podcasts. You can always support us at the /give page. And if you want to contact us, go to the contact page. You can always submit your show ideas, prayer requests, or any just, you know, shout outs that you want to give there as well. Guys, we appreciate you joining us. We hope you have a wonderful day and stay uncomfortable.
See y'all next time.